Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Gas starter. All right. Thank you, Dave. We're going to talk about AI now. And, you know, Dave, you were mentioning earlier this morning about the fake Dolly Parton video, and she's now saying she's not dying, she's not dead. The AI-generated thing, Meg Faris just now telling us with this from 100 AD, the tablet they found in Carrollton, believe it or not, how that got there, long story, but that they went to AI to find out about it. And Meg said, well, you know what, if you think AI is going to take your job, maybe not, because everything they found out was wrong. We're going to talk about AI slop right now. And with that, we welcome in Adam Nemeroff, Assistant Provost for Innovations in Learning, Teaching, and Technology at Quinnipiac University. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
It's good to be on the show. Thank you for having me, Tommy.
Thanks for taking the time. Tell me about AI slop.
Yeah, so I'm not a professor at CU. I work in the administration, and I teach as an adjunct, and I work a lot really closely with researchers. And one of the things I found early on in my process exploring AI over these first few years in this kind of latest generation with AI is that AI slop seems to be popping up everywhere. So I started to notice in the news whether, like you mentioned, the Dolly Parton video, there are these examples where you find things and you're like, is that real? It looks somewhat real. Maybe it's awkward in ways, or there's something out of place that kind of sets something in your brain off as, you know, maybe that's not what I think it is. And so I got really interested in that and ended up putting together this piece for the conversation that explored it a bit further with some actual examples.
So how do you define AI slop, or is it like the old Supreme Court thing with pornography where you just know it when you see it?
Yeah, so it really is kind of examples of low to mid quality content, and that content could be video, it could be images, audio, text, a mix of that, that's created with AI tools. So that's usually the tell. And when they're created, they're often created with little concern for that accuracy and quality. In a lot of cases, it's almost like what we've seen with bots. I know my phone's getting blown up with text messages lately that sound like, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. How are you? And they sound human-like, and they're often these kind of bot farms and other things using these AI tools in kind of indiscriminate ways to just gain somebody's attention and sustain it. And that gets really problematic when you get into some of the varied examples of this with videos and audio and social media posts and all that. But they're all kind of these low, mid-quality generative pieces from AI systems.
Tell me some of the things you mentioned in the piece that you wrote that people might identify with that they've seen and maybe up until now thought were real.
Yeah, the one that really took off was there was an example of a kid holding a puppy that came up in one of the storms during Hurricane Helene that ended up being this kind of image that confused rescuers. They end up trying to look for this person that didn't exist. But on social media, it kind of took off and went viral. It also became a kind of key piece of criticizing the federal government's response efforts. And all of that was in response to something that was completely fabricated. It wasn't real. And so there were also examples when during the fires out west, you know, in Hollywood, there were examples of the Hollywood sign on fire. None of that was real. Mm. And each of those, when you look at it really, really closely and you kind of bring that skeptical mind to it, you notice that it's maybe something's off there. And I could talk about this a little bit more as we talk. Mm-hmm. There's examples now where it's getting harder to tell, and that's a whole nother set of challenges in this space.
Yeah, well, let's talk about it now, because my next question was, is it improving, and is it improving exponentially, and is AI helping AI improve the AI slop now that we've gone completely down the AI rabbit hole?
Yeah, I mean, as far as the self-improving piece, most of the systems are not set up that way yet. That is something you'll hear from the major research labs as a goal, is that over time, that will be a key aspect of continuing to make these things more capable and helpful. But right now, we are seeing better models. Just this week, I was actually interviewed a couple of days ago on CBS Money Watch for an article about OpenAI's new model called Sora 2. And they have this TikTok kind of Instagram Reels-like shorts app that lets you generate AI videos. And if you use the first Sora model, you could typically tell that, you know, these things were artificial in some extent. You'd find something out of place. You'd find something that defied the laws of physics, that kind of thing in the image. But now they are really, really good. So they're able to correct for more of that in the production. And it makes it really tough to see. So you have examples of deep fakes of celebrities on the platform. And all of these things are going to continue to play out in our media diets in different ways. And I'm definitely personally concerned about it because it is. It's tough to tell what is real, what's fake, and that contributes to misinformation and other things.
So, for example, if I wanted to, and I'm trying to understand the way these things work, if I wanted to, first of all, it is this Sora thing, you got to subscribe to that, right, or not?
I believe you have to pay for it, but the app is open. I don't know if they changed that with the most recent model, but it is the most popular free app in the App Store, so you can definitely experience the things that others are creating on it. They're also, you know, it launched in a fairly viral way, so it's kind of taking off on its own meteoric rise, and so you can download the app from the App Store now. And it's trending pretty highly, but with those things, the access barriers, you know, if it's paid, it's only, you know, maybe $20 a month, something like that, a couple cups of coffee, and people are able to do this. And that's why bad actors are able to use these things as well.
So you can put together whatever you want. And for example, I know you gave the example, and I don't want to offend anybody here, with Shrimp Jesus, but you can,
yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so the content guidelines are largely determined by the platform. And in that case, a lot of those things are okay as far as being permissible on the platform in their terms of use. But then there are all sorts of other examples. Like right now, there's been a whole backlash about product placement that brand owners and controllers don't necessarily want. So OpenAI now, a few days into, is actually changing their policy to restrict certain use cases with brand placement and things like that. But you could make a deep fake with Ronald McDonald for a few days. I saw one from the New York Times showing a Matrix scene firing hamburgers from Ronald McDonald at one of the reporters in there, who is as a Neo kind of a character. And yeah, it's incredible to see what you can do with just a few words and a prompt.
Robin Williams' daughter took to social media, I think, to say, please stop doing this. Do you know what was going on there?
Yeah, I caught that story a couple days ago. It seemed like people were using, there was a Robin Williams avatar that people had basically made and were using to, like, have him speak to things since his passing. And, you know, she pointed out, I think her reaction is the most telling part of this. That's unsettling. You know, there are people using AI to train it on their loved ones' memories and writings and other things to allow some engagement with that. But that's, you know, that's a distilled version of that individual. And there's an element of consent with it. You know, like in his daughter's case, she wasn't looking for that, and she knew her dad didn't want to see that. So I think that's a really interesting and cautionary one to share. There's other examples too with MLK and JFK and other, I saw an Abraham Lincoln one the other day. And these are all just things that people can make really easily, and the guardrails don't necessarily stop it.
Let me talk about where this is headed when we come back, because I know I saw Sean Astin, I think, is the president of one of the actors union, SAG, maybe talking about AI actors and how that could replace real actors, not on the stage, I don't think, unless you're talking about holograms, but in film. And how good is this likely to get? 919, we're talking about AI-generated slop with Adam Nemeroff, Assistant Provost for Innovations in Learning, Teaching, and Technology at Quinnipiac. I get it out. Say it from here.
Quinnipiac.
That's what I said. University. And we'll pick it up when we come back. Any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. I'll pass them along. We come back. WWL. It is currently 9:25. We're talking to Adam Nemeroff, Assistant Provost for Innovations in Learning, Teaching, and Technology at Quinnipiac University about AI slop. And for those just tuning in, Adam, give me a definition of AI slop again, please.
Yeah, so AI slop is low and mid-level content that's generated by AI systems. It could be text, audio, video, or images. And they tend to be created without much intention around how quality that content is. It really is there just to grab your attention, not necessarily to fulfill the, you know, a quality metric.
So what isn't AI slop? And I guess I'm wondering, for those that would have nefarious purposes to have a politician, because look, first of all, you got to follow the chain of this, right? People see it on social media. They want to believe it because they're kind of looking for what they want to believe in the first place with confirmation bias. Then the algorithms feed them what they want to see.
Sure.
And as a result of that, it's nonstop. It's one after the other after the other. I guess just like, you know, impressions, after you give somebody 30 impressions, they begin to notice it, or it begins to eat its way into, like an earworm into their head, maybe. I don't know. But how advanced is AI when it comes to people that they care? They don't want it to be low quality. They want a good, high quality fake to either bilk somebody out of their money, start a war, do whatever.
Yeah, so those are great examples of kind of where the, you know, bad actors can essentially use these things. There's all sorts of examples that are documented going back to our last presidential election. There's a deep fake of Biden that told voters in New Hampshire not to go to the polls. These things are out there and being used in bad ways. And I think it's important for people to know that these things are often being placed in places where you have the attention economy kind of at play. So that's why you see it on social media. You see it in other places where there could be a potential financial upside. It could be something where the goal is to get more content out there, not good content out there, but it could play into the algorithms of the different social media platforms as well. They could reflect the viewpoint that you've already shown interest in based on your friends and your likes and your other engagement. And that's kind of where it starts from.
Have you seen students use a lot of AI when it comes to papers and those kind of things?
We should have a whole other episode on that. Yeah. Yeah, so my day job in higher ed is really helping faculty to think about how they can use it, how their students are using it, and what that looks like. And we're now in this point where we're several years into ChatGPT's kind of, you know, meteoric rise, and then everything else that came out around it from the other research labs. And so we're seeing examples of that in some ways. And we're also seeing it in other ways where students are using it really well. You know, you can use these tools in study modes now, which can help you to be more personalized in your personal tutoring and ability to achieve your academic goals. So it's a real mix, but we're trying to create that culture on campus, engaging that. And there's no 100% way to detect it, I think, is the other challenge.
Somebody texted in, I still don't understand what AI is. And as we talk about AI slop, maybe we should take a step back, Adam, and talk about, for people that don't deal with it every day, don't quite understand. They know it's something to do with the computer and something to do with the phone, but they don't quite know what artificial intelligence or AI is.
Yeah, so AI has been around since the 1950s, I believe the term was coined.
Really?
I previously worked at Dartmouth, and the term was coined at Dartmouth with a math conference that had happened there that convened computing experts who were seeing this kind of dawn of possibility. And that's really what it was at that point in the 1950s. It was, you know, a theoretical idea that you could have machines that behave more like humans than machines that follow instructions. And the idea that had to really develop a lot over the next, you know, seven to eight decades before it became, you know, generative AI and ChatGPT. But a lot of those underlying methods with neural networks and deep learning are all tied into everything from the social media algorithms that you were mentioning earlier, Tommy, your recommendations on things like Netflix, whether your car can see a pedestrian in its field of view, mm-hmm. Up through, you know, other systems for predictive analytics related to things like, you know, predicting cancer or heart attack risk or other things for certain audiences, which is leading to all sorts of things with personalized medicine. But what we're seeing now with AI, this new moment with AI, has gone from these predictive systems and kind of systems that would see these patterns in structured and unstructured data to being able to produce something with that, with those same pattern capabilities. So that's really what's at the core of a lot of these generative models.
Somebody texted in, it's interesting how they always pick winners and losers on this. It's them. No, it's them. One side uses it more than the other. Is there any indication that, you know, that.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Conservatives or liberals are using AI to fool people more than the other, or is that just kind of like the Wild West?
Yeah, I haven't seen anything that would support that. Mm-hmm. What I would say, though, is people are using it in good ways and bad, and that's across the political spectrum. I think it is fitting into our broader conversation about information and bias and disinformation, and it's a tricky moment to be introducing these kinds of tools because there's a lot we need to work through that way as a broader society, and we're seeing a lot of that brought into kind of, you know, more divisive conversations. But you look right now, even during the shutdown, and there's examples of AI videos being created on the part of the Republicans depicting the Democrats in certain ways, and it does happen on. I've seen it. I feel like most of the stuff that's gained traction has been similar to that. But there are examples of people using this badly all over the place.
Yeah, and it's not sanctioned by either party. These are just people that have their own viewpoints that you're saying, right, that are doing these things?
Well, I mean, President Trump is making video. There's examples of videos out there. There was the one that went around with, Representative Jeffries and Schumer. There's a deep fake with Schumer's voice in it. So there are these examples out there that are being used right now. But generally, yeah, people are using this for good ways and bad, and people need to know that. And I think it's on us to really say whether, you know, that's something we expect or don't approve of.
All right. So keep in mind, you got to go very slowly here. But somebody texted in, sure. How do we go from a set of zeros and ones to a deep fake of Christopher Walken dancing with a bear in a circus, for example?
Yeah, and this is where I'll point out, this is not my expertise. I'm a little bit out of my lane. Mm-hmm. But my understanding is most of the video and image generation uses what are called diffusion models. And those are they basically can use the zeros and ones to figure out, like, is that thing Christopher Walken? Is it on the edge of Christopher Walken? And it zooms out to the point where it's, when it's doing the training, it can basically see that it is, and then figure out how to put that together after that. And it takes incredible amounts of computation and data. There are these kind of layered neural networks that are involved with it. And as these systems get more powerful, better information, better training, that's where we're seeing it get better at a, you know, that's a pretty good Christopher Walken impression kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to, I don't think, replace a stage actor with this, but what's going on as it relates to actors? Because if you look at things like, I'm trying to think of this Disney movie, Polar Express, I think is the name of it, where it's a cartoon, but it really isn't, and it's pretty close to almost looking like real people. And now, as I understand it, with AI, they can generate movies that do look like real people, and also talk about the music aspect of this as well, if you will.
Yeah, so there are all sorts of examples. Computers have been in animation, you know, going back to Pixar and Polar Express and other examples, and you look at The Conductor, and it looks like Tom Hanks, right? Mm-hmm. And we've been able to do that with motion capture and other technologies for some time. I think one of the biggest things now that we're seeing is examples of people trying to create their own. This came up in the SAG-AFTRA, the writer's strike, actually, a couple years back. You can use these things to make deep fakes of other individuals. And that isn't that individual. Early on, we had a really, really famous example in Scarlett Johansson sued OpenAI because of her background in the movie Her. They had a voice that sounded strikingly like her mm-hmm. in their voice assistant. And so there are all these examples of people should, to some extent, expect to be able to make their livelihood. And, you know, how do you make sure that you use these things so they don't displace other workers, and we're still seeing the quality we would expect? These systems are ultimately averages, right? And even as they get better, it's not as good as an actor. It's never going to be embodied and emotional and those other things. So that's a huge part of acting that we would expect when we go to either the stage or the screen.
So is it to the point where if I'm a producer and it's like, you know what, this part would be perfect if I could just blend Josh Hartnett with Brad Pitt, where AI could develop something like that?
Yeah, so there. I think you were talking about a little bit before the break. There's this example of a production lab out in the UK. Mm-hmm. Particle 6 created this avatar called Tilly Norwood. And Tilly is an avatar that they created. It hasn't been interviewed yet. It hasn't appeared in anything other than social media posts. But they're signing her up with her in quotes. I'm using quotes with my fingers. They're signing that avatar up to work with an agent. And I think it's going to be interesting to see if that even takes off, because I don't think people are asking for that, right? I mean, there is maybe an argument to be made for, are you able to make things that aren't capable in the real world? Are you able to do things at a lower cost? There are different things that could weigh into that decision-making process, but I don't know that people are looking for that necessarily. And I know the actors and the Actors Guild definitely isn't.
Tell me a little bit for people that don't know about Tilly Norwood, because I think that's an amazing story, because if you look at it, it looks like it's real to me, and it does anyway.
Yeah, and the key thing to point out here is it's largely been an Instagram presence with lots of still shots that have been shared on the internet, which are pretty, you know, they're easier to make computationally. But when you start to imagine somebody acting in a movie, something with moving frames, you know, we have good video generation, but is it going to be good enough for a feature length film in that way? I don't know. That we'll have to see about that. But we know the person can act. It's been trained on the average of acting, right? Mm-hmm. How do you pull together all these examples and train on it and distill it down? And you can have instructions via prompt and system prompts and whatnot, but that is ultimately, it's kind of this weird average.
But it has to begin with a human being, correct? Or not?
Well, I mean, this is the thing with the training of all these models, is they essentially vacuumed up all of our data without permission.
Right.
That could be writing examples, that could be visual images. Getty had a lot of cases early on. Disney, Universal are suing many, you know, Midjourney and others to point out that, hey, like, we didn't authorize this and use our intellectual property. And is that fair use under U.S. copyright law? You know, there are all sorts of questions around that in front of the courts. But yeah, it used a lot of human work in order to do what it did. And I think that's my broader point in my AI thought piece is, you know, besides if this is good for us and if it's whether it's helpful or not, one of the big issues with this is it was trained in a really unethical way,
right,
at almost every level of the process. And yet it's also broadly useful. And how do we weigh that out as a society?
But at some point it begins with proprietary information, right, for the most part?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And all sorts of examples of piracy and other things.
So to leave this conversation for now, what would you advise people when it comes to vetting what they're watching to tell if it's an AI deep fake or soft fake or whatever the different levels of fakes are?
Yeah, so there are different efforts at watermarking some of these things, but there are lots of systems that aren't using that. So there's no definitive way to know. And as these things get more wild, it's almost a situation that eludes the fact that it's AI more than the quality of it. And so I would just really tell people, be thoughtful and careful about it. Don't assume that image or video that you're seeing on social media is something real or was authorized by any individual. Like, that very likely could be social media. And, you know, what is the provenance of that kind of information? How do you know it got to that point? Where is it coming from? What are the publishing guidelines of that organization? And how does that look? That's really what you have to do.
I got to sneak one more question which is, somebody wants to know if they could, with the approval of the estate, whomever, I don't know, it would be, or the six heirs, if they could generate, say, for example, Humphrey Bogart in a new edition of Fight Club or something along those lines, if everybody would be willing to go along with that. Does the technology exist for that or not yet?
Yeah, there were some. I'm trying to remember whose estate it was. Somebody did authorize that. So we're seeing early examples of that. We're seeing some early non-authorized versions of that. I saw Michael Jackson in a McDonald's on Sora the other day. So I think that's a huge part of this is it's both there when you don't want it to be, but also I think we'll expect to see some interesting and creative cases where AI can extend somebody's work. And that's a tricky territory to find ourselves in.
And what about ways for teachers to spot if students are using AI? Are there some tells? Or even parents?
There are all sorts of examples of this on the internet. You know, there are different AI detectors, which largely detect at high false positive rates and really lead to some negative outcomes as far as just the act of accusing somebody without knowing. It's different than plagiarism and academic dishonesty of the past. And I think that's the key thing I would highlight. It's really about building relationships. When I talk to faculty, and that's for parents, that's for teachers, you have to start bringing these things into the process and showing people how to use it well. Mm-hmm. And you have to really emphasize the process over the product. You know, I'm talking a lot to people about building in more milestones for assignments, showing students where they can use it, showing them where they bring themselves to it in a way that they can think that an AI can't right now. There are all sorts of different ways that can be done kind of in a teaching innovation kind of way.
It sounds like you're saying, show me your work, pretty much.
Show me your work, yeah. And there are cases too where AI can reason through problems, but you know, that act of kind of having somebody explain the problem, elaborate on their approach, that's a lot of what we're recommending to our faculty now.
Is there something to be said for AI about leaving emotion out of it?
Yeah, there's all sorts of examples. I was talking to somebody the other day who was talking about using it in brainstorming. Mm-hmm. You can ask it to generate different ideas. And when it's generating those ideas, it's distilling it down from its training and instruction data and background. But the thing that it's ultimately doing is it's distilling all of that down. And so, yeah, it's challenging that way.
But it still goes back to garbage in, garbage out, because if there's bias fed into it, that's what's going to come out, right?
Yeah, and the bias piece, you know, and to some extent, one of the things that people note is it's also uninhibited, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe there's something where you would introduce a bias that you would have in it, but it also has encoded in our biases. And there's also examples of where people try to correct for it and overcorrect for some of those biases, and that leads to different outputs, which
to
is
different
its own
biases,
kind of form
right?
Of garbage out. Yeah, exactly.
And then, not to get in the hall of mirrors here, but you could pass on a bias that you don't even know you have. right?
Yeah.
And then it gets exaggerated.
Yeah, this is a huge part of where I think it's helpful to engage it, but it's so important to have what we call humans in the loop. You know, if you're working with AI systems at work, in school, you know, be ethical in your use around it and really bring yourself to that to understand, like, is it giving me the right information? How can I check it? And it's tricky that way, but there are some tips and strategies that way.
Very interesting, Adam. Thank you. I appreciate your time and your insight. Adam Nemeroff, Assistant Provost for Innovation and Learning, Teaching, and Technology at Quinnipiac University. We also always like to try to learn stuff, and I think we all did just now about AI. We'll talk to Troy Duhon about giving hope when we come back. Tommy Tucker, 943, 17 till 10, traffic now, WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love every day. 18 and up only. Offer valid for eligible subscribers only. Terms apply.